welcome. Usually we always go all out for our preachers, so why don't we give her a massive, massive clap. This is our youth pastor.
Thank you. Awesome. I think we need to give the whole youth team a massive round of applause. Thank you. How amazing have they been? Oh my goodness. We've been planning this for probably not even a month. The church just decided that they wanted us to take over, and we said, you know what, we will. And some of these kids, you know, they got told they were praying a couple days ago. Rachel has, this is her first time ever on this stage, and she killed the show. Can we give a hand for Rachel? But I think they've all done absolutely amazing, and it's not over yet. Turn to the person next to you, say, it's not over yet. Oh, it is not. I'm not going to make anyone drink any more crazy smoothies. Praise the Lord. But like I said, we wanted today to kind of feel like a My Youth service. And so we wanted to bring everything we do on a Friday night to you on a Sunday. So that's why we've been doing things that are a bit crazy and stuff like that. And so I'm going to speak to you today. I promise that I will speak the gospel in Jesus' name. But I feel like I'm obliged to tell you a little bit about what My Youth has been doing this year. Do you want to hear what we've been doing? You probably know that we meet on Friday nights and we go up into that mysterious room and we put holes in the wall and we just do crazy things. We go on camps. We ask for a lot of your money. We give you food. But I want to shed a little bit of light into what we actually do. So I'm going to give you our My Youth announcements firstly for what the rest of the year looks like. So everyone say announcements. So I know you had the main church announcements, but we got the My Youthers. So Arnie at the back, give us our first one. Just to give you a bit of an idea of what we do. So everyone say the gathering. So just like on a Sunday morning, we have a gathering at 9:30 a.m. before the service. We've actually decided to incorporate that into our youth service because we are a part of Bay City, amen. And so we have our gathering at 6 p.m. We start our service at 7. So we come down at 6 p.m. and we all meet and we pray about the service. One of my favorite things is, so we're youth and, you know, it's hard to come on time. So we say 6 and we probably start our prayer circle. We always stand in a circle. We hold hands. We probably start that with about 10 of us. And then you always open your eyes at the end of the prayer and it's doubled in size. And like the rest of the crew is there. There's 20 of us. But it's been amazing. So if you have any kids that want to be involved, the gathering's a great place to start. Another announcement we have that comes off the back of that is join the team. Everyone say, join the team. Now, if you saw, that was a fully fledged youth band. I don't think anyone was over the age of 20 years old. Is that right? 21 was our eldest. So we fully took on today. And we rely on the kids. Like, we have a leadership team, but we love getting the kids involved in all aspects, not just bands. So we always invite them to join the team. So if your kids want to join the team, encourage them to, because we want to help them develop in the gifts and talents that God's given them, and we want to grow them. And I feel like being a part of a team is the place to start. Amen? Amen. Okay, I think we have one more. Bear with me, because I just want to keep you guys up to date with what's happening. Okay, yeah, band rehearsals. We have our own band now. We've gotten to a point where we actually have a week A, week B, and the kids rehearse Sundays after church. So if your kids are involved, that's also happening. Just for the parents who might be like, why am I dropping my kids to church like all the time? This is why. But we're building the church, amen? Amen. Okay, final one, and this is an exciting one. My youth. They're excited. I know the adults are like, oh, is this going to cost us money? No. But you may need to get your daughter's dresses and your boy's suits. But we are having a My Youth formal on the very final night of term. So we're going to kick it all, or wrap it all up, I suppose, with a big formal. We're going to be dressing to the nines. So boys, I'm expecting bow ties and whatnot. Girls, just looking beautiful. And that's how we're going to end the term and the year. Praise the Lord. The year is almost done. How exciting. So that is a little bit, and then there's a final one, but you all know what's happening today, the little My Youth takeover. There it is. How exciting. Are you enjoying yourself? Yes. Okay. Well, it wouldn't be a My Youth service if we didn't have a video. Amen? So I'm going to give you, I've just told you a bit about the events that are going to happen, But it's been a big year for us as a youth ministry, and I thought we would pull together a bit of a video just to showcase what we've been up to, what's been happening. And why don't you turn to the screens and have a little look at what our year has looked like as a youth ministry. Thanks, guys. beautiful. I feel like I could just leave the microphone here. We could all go home, and that tells enough for what this youth ministry is. This youth ministry has been doing. All right. So, sorry. That chokes me up, man. I just need to gather myself for a second. These are my babies, and this has been a massive year for all of us. And I just want to say a massive thank you to all of our leaders. There's 10 leaders here. Actually, stand up. If you're a my leader, get on your feet. Just come on, stand up. I want to honor you. These guys, this would not be anything without these guys. They love your kids as much as you do. Whoa, no. Almost as much as you do. They go above and beyond. They are all up in everything. They plan. They come here. Those nights where we were creating what is upstairs, there were times when we were here till like 1 a.m. consistently because we just wanted to keep going. And they have jobs. They have lives outside of this. And they love it. And I just really want to honor them and say thank you. So as a massive ministry right now, can we say thank you? You guys can take your seats. Do you feel updated? Do you feel like you're a part of my youth now? Have we commissioned you in? I feel like Jerry's really been commissioned in. So maybe that's like the protocol. If you want to join us, you have to drink a McDonald's smoothie. Is anyone down for that? No. Oh, in the first month. Well, like I said, I am going to preach to you, and I could just leave that there and show that as a testimony of how incredible God has been to us this year as a ministry and what we've achieved and what we've been able to do and how we've grown. But I want to talk on the topic of the walls of Jericho. Everyone say the walls of Jericho. Now, if you're not familiar with this story, I'll give you a little rundown. It's in the book of Joshua in chapter 6. Any Joshuas in the house? And after the death of Moses, God calls on Joshua to lead the Israelites across the Jordan River and take possession of the promised land. And at the end of all of this, there is the gates of Jericho, and they're securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. But the Lord actually says to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men and do this for 6 days." So they did that. And on the seventh day, they marched around the city 7 times with the priests blowing trumpets and all that was going on. And they gave a massive outcry and the city walls collapsed and the army went in. We've all heard this story before, yes? Are we familiar? And so I want to get real. Everyone say get real. Now, I love this story because I believe it's an awesome metaphor for different things that we go through in our lives. And I truly believe that we all have our own walls of Jericho in our own circumstances. And it may not be a physical wall, but it may be, you know, navigating different situations. It may be your living situations. It may be finances. It may be your kids. They all look beautiful up there, but I know it could be a different story at home, amen? But we're helping them, amen? But all circumstances aside, I truly believe that, you know, it's an incredible metaphor for how we live our life. And I'm going to get real with you. At the beginning of this year, I met one of the biggest Jericho walls I've ever faced. And I was given, I guess, the opportunity to take on this youth ministry. Now, I don't know if you know a whole lot about me. I am Pastor Andrew and Marianne's daughter, in Jesus' name. But that does not mean that. Well, I didn't think it meant that. That just came with the ability to lead and pastor a church amazingly because of my heritage, and it was just passed on to me. I absolutely was terrified of public speaking, even commanding a room. If you were to put me on the spot to pray or things like that, it scared the entirety out of me. And when I was given this opportunity, it was not something that I felt I was ready for in that moment. But I knew that God had other plans, amen? And I trusted in him, and I knew that being a youth pastor was my dream, and it was a scary dream, and it was a dream I thought I was going to have when I was 30 years old and married, and I'd be the beautiful little pastor's wife that followed my pastor husband who would lead the ministry. You know what I mean? That's what I was thinking in my head. Not that, you know, at 19 years of age, I would be handed a youth ministry to pastor and lead. And I remember when I first got told, fear just trembled me. And I looked at it like a wall of Jericho. I looked at it like this giant wall in front of me that I couldn't see around, I couldn't see over, I couldn't go under. You know that song, can't go over it. Yeah, that is what it looked like to me. But the thing is, I said yes, amen. And I knew that God had declared this path over for me forever already. But the thing that I love the most is in Joshua, in that passage I just read, in verse 2 particularly, it says, "Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men.'" He said, "I have delivered into your hands." Not when there's, you know, when the time is right, I'll deliver it into your hands. Or one day, I'll deliver it into your hands. Or I might deliver it into your hands. He said, "I have delivered Jericho already into your hands." So the promise was made. He had made that declaration. And it was up to Joshua to step up to it. Amen? It was up to Joshua to say, "You know what? I am going to take down this wall of Jericho that's in front of me, because God's already declared that it is done." Amen? And when there's a war to conquer, you don't know what's over it. And I certainly had no idea what taking on a youth ministry looked like. I mean, I didn't have a whole bunch of youth pastors I could just call up and be like, "Yo, give me a manual. How do you do this gig?" It's not something that you can just jump on. And it was a very big unknown. But the thing is, if you were to sit me down and show me that video in the future somehow, if we could teleport and then that could get shown to Maddie at the beginning of this year when it got handed, I would have said yes in a heartbeat, because that is an incredible testimony. But I had no idea that all that God has laid out for us this year is what was entitled. I had no idea. And what if I didn't say yes? What if I didn't say yes to the ministry? What if I didn't step up? What if? And that's the thing. You have to step out and you have to say yes, knowing what if. Not knowing what's beyond the wall, not knowing, you know, how it's exactly going to fall down. Sometimes God will tell you, you're going to march around a wall and it's going to collapse. Anyone here in the building would have been like, "Oh yeah, sweet, it's going to collapse." No bulldozers, no weapons, no explosives. God just tells you to walk around and it's going to collapse. Who reckons they'd be like, "Yeah, sweet"? Yeah, the super, super faiths in the room. I think I would have been asking a few questions. But this is the same with what I went through. There was no how or what, but I knew there was a God, and I knew he knew where I was going, and if I just listened to him and followed him, I knew that everything that he planned would come through. Amen? In Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight." And I know this is a verse that we know back to front, but if you actually look at it in the entirety, trust in the Lord with all your heart, not a little bit of your heart, not a, "Okay, God, I can't fully take that on, but I'll give you, you know, my Sunday mornings, but I can't join a team, but I'll give you my Sunday mornings, or, you know, I'll try and do this, but I can't do that." If he's called you to do it, do it. And I know, you know when you're called to do something. I knew that I was called to be a youth pastor because it burned in my heart. The love for these kids burned in my heart. I loved them. I loved the thought of it all, and I just wanted to be with them. I could be a youth pastor until the day I die. I just love it. And I knew that was a passion God had put in me, but fear definitely played a part in me being like, "No way. How can..." Okay, I don't know if you looked in that video, but we have... First of all, I am a 20-year-old blonde little white girl. Everyone say, "Hey, white girl." When we preach at my youth, they like to yell, "Daniel, yell it out to me." This is what they like to yell to me. Now, I don't know if you looked at our video, but we have an incredibly diverse, multicultural, beautiful youth. And we have a lot of big boys that are like 14, but they're like this big. And I'm like this big. And I remember when I was getting told to take on the ministry, I'm like, how on earth am I going to gain the authority of these boys? Me being, "Hey, guys. Hey, babe." That's me. Walking up to incredibly large, strong men and trying to have authority from them as their pastor. And there were so many things that went through my head, like, how could I be the person to do this? And it's so linkable with Joshua and his situation when Moses passed it on and him being younger. And God will choose the willing, amen? And God will choose who he wants, amen? Regardless of how you look, regardless of your talents or your capabilities, he will choose who he wants for the job and he'll make it happen. But you have to play your part and you have to say yes, amen? That was my sister. You are equally a white girl. Alrighty. People, situations, circumstances, areas that you have been placed in, and I remember I preached, maybe the first time I ever preached on a Sunday was probably about a year ago, or towards the beginning of the year, and I preached on reaching your crowd. I preached on Samuel, and I preached on reaching the crowd around you, and I fully believe that exactly where you're placed, exactly in your workspace, in your school, in your family, exactly where you've been placed is God ordains for what he wants to do. And it may seem, you know, if you're in the motions, you're in the mundane life, the day-to-day, it may seem, you know, mundane and unimportant and unextraordinary, but every situation he's placed you in for a reason to do the extraordinary. The Bible tells us that we are to preach the gospel to all the nations, amen? And at youth, lately, we've been preaching to the kids what it is to be a child of God and what it is to live righteously and to live not by the flesh, but to live by the Spirit. And we've been breaking it down, you know, from the fruits of the Spirit to the Ten Commandments to honoring your parents. I make sure I put that in there. You guys been honored? Have you been honored? Amen. To all of what, you know, it is to be righteous and to live righteous and to live like him. And that's what we've been working out as a term. And one of my favorite lines, I go to a Bible college and we get a lot of theologians come in and chat to us. This one is from a special kind of theologian. It's my favorite line. Are you ready? It says, preach the gospel at all times. And if all else fails, use words. Preach the gospel at all times, and if all else fails, use words. You might be thinking, what is she talking about? She's using words right now. What I'm telling you is that how you live and how you, you know, deal with your situations, how you overcome your Jerichos, how you work in your workspace, how you leave this building and leave this world, this room that we're in into the real world, is actually a complete reflection of Christ if you call yourself a Christian. And it's not just about talking the talk, but it's about walking the walk. And that's what we've been teaching the kids and how to live righteously and, you know, love, joy, peace. Can we say it? Do you reckon we can do it? All right, I got a little bit staggered to the end there. Let's brush up with that. Next time we'll have that real good. But the thing is, there's nothing comfortable. The thing is that the Word of God, there's nothing mundane about it. There's nothing boring. There's nothing ordinary about the Word of God. And if we're called to live out the Word of God, if we're called to, you know, do the extraordinary, like tackling our walls of Jericho, like the Bible says that we will do these things that Jesus did and greater. And if we're called to live out this extraordinary Bible, then I hate to break it to you, but you're called to live out an extraordinary life, which doesn't mean the mundane, which doesn't mean sitting where you are. And I want to push comfortable, is that comfortableness? That's not a word. Comfortability. I want to push it. Comfortableness. Don't be comfortable. Turn to the person next to you and say, don't be comfortable. Because comfortable means you stay where you are. Comfortable for me would have been, no, I'll stay a leader of our youth ministry and I'll just, you know, make videos and take pictures and do my thing. Comfortable would have been just staying there. But bold is saying, you know what, God, I know what you've laid out for me. I know that I've already been claimed, the walls of Jericho are going to come down, and I'm going to go forth and do what you've laid out because you've said so. You've declared it. And that boldness, that same courage that Christ had when he walked on the earth, the same courage and wisdom and knowledge that he had lives inside of you. From the day that you made the decision that Christ is your Lord and Savior, that lives inside of you. And we are called to do the extraordinary. And I want to encourage you as a church to do so. And I know this is an easier, not an easy thing, but it's easy to get a youth ministry hyped up about this kind of thing. You know, their whole life is ahead of them. Everything's crazy. You've seen the service today. If this is your first time, I just want to apologize for the insanity. But it's been fun. Amen? But it doesn't mean that, you know, when you reach that point in your life where maybe you're in a stable job and you're in the career or you finished your studies or you're a mother or a father or you're living, that doesn't mean you get comfortable there. You keep going, you keep progressing, you keep stepping up, you keep enlarging your space, enlarging your people. If you're comfortable, be uncomfortable. Take a step forward into something unknown. Because I know God's got it and you need to know God's got it. And of course, you have a church family behind you as well. Amen. We believe that at Myeth, we are a family. We do life together. But we also believe that Myeth is for a season and church is for life. And so we're all about investing into this very house in Jesus' name. And so if I could get the band to come up, that would be amazing. Full band, if that's all right. All of you. All your beautiful faces, so I'm not alone. At the end of that video, it showed a verse about one generation commending your works to another. And this verse can easily, you know, be wrapped up in a younger generation. You know, they'll go forth and proclaim, and, you know, we'll invest into them and proclaim. But I want to challenge you that as the leading generation of these kids, as the parents, as the aunties, as the uncles, as the role models, I said it, and if you don't know it, you are a role model to these kids, and how you live your life as a role model. And you should also be a generation that commends his works to the next. Your job's not over when you hit parental role. Your job's not over when you hit that midlife 50 point. Amen, Dad. Your job's not over when you hit there. I'm going to get in trouble when I get home. But your job doesn't end there. Amen? And so it is your duty to commend to the next generation. And that's us. Hello, we're crazy. And we actually need your help. We actually need more mentors for these kids, more experienced people in their world and showing them how to do it. When we arrived this morning at about 9 a.m., I went to go and get the Macca's meal for Jerry. And I looked around and the room was full of 20-year-olds. And I honestly, knowing that we're totally fine, I just was like, oh my goodness, the oldest person here is 20. Why is there no adults here? Like, the church is just left in our hands. It's starting in like 58 minutes. Where are the adults? Which, you know, we would have been all right. But we need you, amen? And we need you to be bold in, you know, paving the way for us because we look to you. I wanna do two things before we finish. The first thing is, if I could have every eye closed, I wanna speak to one particular group of people, and I've been speaking about living righteously and this God who's just paved the way for this youth ministry and for my life and the incredible courage and boldness he gives us to take down our Jerichos. And I don't know the situation of this room, but if there's people here who you've actually never met this God before, you've actually never encountered Jesus and had this incredible person in your life to give you the boldness, to give you the wisdom, to do life with and to break down your Jericho walls, I don't want you to leave this room without the opportunity to do so. And so I'm going to give you an opportunity to be bold and maybe a bit uncomfortable and to raise your hand in a moment to say, you know what, I actually haven't met Jesus, or, you know, maybe I did once, but I want to make it right again. I don't want an off-the-side relationship. I want a full me and him in it relationship, every day, every second relationship. And I want to give you that opportunity. So if that's you, you've never made the decision, or maybe you have, if you could be really bold right now and just lift your hand up so I can see, no one else is looking. In Jesus' name, I see your hand. If you've never made the decision, or you do want to make the decision, I don't want to leave this opportunity without that. Amazing. You can put your hand down. Now keep your eyes closed. This is to another kind of altar call. I want to ask you, what are you proclaiming to the generation right now? Because it's not game over for you. We need wise counsel. We need role models. We need spiritual mothers and fathers. We need people to pave the way, whether you're 12 or whether you're 112. And I want us as a church today, if you're on the bandwagon with being bold, with attacking your Jericho walls with boldness, with Christ-given boldness, with attacking situations with Christ-given boldness, with daily life, with living boldly and paving the way for the next generation. If you're in on that, I want you to stand to your feet right now. If you're in paving the way for the generation, I want you to stand to your feet right now and make that a declaration as a church ministry right now. That doesn't mean you have to be 50 or 60 or whatever. You can be 5, you can be 10. If you're in to proclaim to the generations boldly, I want you to stand to your feet as a declaration. And these guys are going to lead us in some worship for a little bit longer. back into I surrender. Because the first thing when you're in something is you got to give it your all, amen? And giving it your all is surrendering it all. That doesn't mean half-hearted. That doesn't mean a little bit. That means you're all. So as we sing this, I want you to take this moment to surrender some things that you might need to surrender over, to surrender some fears you might need to surrender over. Because, you know, he knows about your Jericho. He knows about your situation. And he's got the path in which you need to take. He's got the boldness in which you need to grab. And so in this moment, I just want you and Jesus to have it out about what those situations look like, what boldness in your world looks like. Because there's boldness proclaimed over all of us in Jesus' name, and we're called to proclaim it to the next generation. So these guys are going to lead us in I surrender. And just take this time for you and God in Jesus' name.
I surrender, I want to know you more, I want to know you more, I surrender, I surrender. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. I surrender. I surrender. I want to know you more. I want to know. I surrender. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. I surrender.
Come on, church, let's raise our hands up to him right now.
I surrender.
This is to our Savior.
I want to know you. I want to know you more.
Let's declare it.
Surrender. I surrender. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. I surrender. Oh, Jesus. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. I surrender. I surrender. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. I surrender. I surrender. I want to know you more. I want to know. I surrender. I surrender. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. I surrender. I surrender. I want to know you more. I want to know.
Father, I thank you for every single person in this room right now, Lord God. And I pray that your boldness would be generational to this room right now, Father. I pray your courage would be generational to this room. Your wisdom would be generational to this room. And that we would not only feel the need to send your commission out, Lord God, to preach your word, but that we would also feel the need to speak it to the next generation, Lord God, that we wouldn't be in this solo, but grabbing people left, right, and center for your call and for your glory, Lord God. I pray that you would give us eyes to see specific people in our worlds that you want us to impact, Lord God, specific people in our worlds you want us to speak into you in situations, Father. And I pray that anything that comes against us, Lord God, we would attack it like the walls of Jericho, Father, that we would approach it with your boldness because you have declared that it is done, Father. You have declared the future for us, Lord God, and I pray that we would walk in that as a generation boldly. In your mighty mind we say. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Well, we're going to do something a little bit different to finish off the service. We haven't done this in a while. But band, you know what's up. Yep. Can I get a nod? We know what's happening. So at My Youth, when we kick off the end of a night, we do a little something called a praise party. Now, I know you're all in your seats, but I need you to come to the front. Adults, kid, anyone and everyone, if you can come closer. And we're going to finish this service with a praise song in Jesus' name. Take it away, band.